and welcome to episode 14 of the What is Love podcast. My name is Miggy.
And my name is Aisata.
And we're so happy to welcome you in this very first episode in English for our second season without any voice filters. Woohoo!
Yes, you get to have a very regular episode. We're not testing anything on you this time. And it's an episode I'm particularly excited about because as we were doing the recording and the editing, I kept, you know, having to like silently react to the crazy things and very surprising things that I heard in this episode. And I just can't wait for you guys to also experience it and to hear, you know, to hear your feedback about how you felt, your thoughts, your just everything about it.
All I have to say is I wasn't there for the recording. So when I listened to this episode, I could not believe it. Every single time something shocked me, it took another 1 minute for something else to shock me. I was like, where does this end? I was gasping, gasping.
And the guest is like telling the story so lightly and she's laughing and all those things. And I'm like, sis.
And I'm like, scarred. Scarred, triggered. What is going on?
For real, it just scared me. I was like, this is actually scary.
It is scary. It is super scary. And I think we were having this conversation, but about how sometimes not everybody that you meet is sane. Not everybody that you meet is sane. We are all a little messed up, but I do believe some of us have, like, clinically,
I feel like when you meet someone these days, after you feel like, okay, like, this is fine, I want to date the person.
Psychoanalysis.
Get tested for your psychological states, because clearly,
like
seriously, the streets are rough.
The streets are not safe at all. I mean, we were also wondering if there were any red flags that our guest could have picked up on. And I think if we talk about it now, we may give a lot away. So maybe we'll wait, since this episode is in two parts. I don't know if we said that already.
Oh, yeah, guys. Again, the story is so crazy that, like, this is part one. And in 2 weeks, you'll get part two of the episode. And I'm sure at the end of the episode, you'll be like, what could you possibly have to say? That requires a whole other episode. But don't worry.
You won't be disappointed at all.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't think that I can point to any specific red flag. I could point to things where I was like, maybe this flag is orange. Maybe this is just a flag. You know, sometimes flags don't need a color. It's just a flag.
I'm thinking red flags. I'm thinking red flags.
For me, I was like, this is just a flag. Keep your eyes open. You can work on this. You can fix this. Blah, blah, blah. But, like, I think everything before I don't want to give things away, but, like, up to a certain extent in the relationship, I was just like, oh, you know what? Like, tricky, keep your eyes open, but you can fix that. You can work on that. It's after a certain point, I was like, okay, I guess shit is going the wrong way. I guess flags are going from neutral to red, but I don't know.
It's going south from here.
But okay.
Oh, Lord,
let's just let them listen to it and then we'll come back and talk about those red flags at the
enjoy
next
and see you in part two.
See you.
So the story is between Amy and Andrew. I met Andrew in college. And we met in a physics class, working on a project together. I had seen him around campus, but never really paid too much attention to him because he was with someone else, I would say a year prior to when I saw him. So when we became, I guess, closer was when we took a physics class together and our professor asked us to work on a project together. And at that point, it was fun because he had similar science passion as I did, and our project ranked first So that was exciting. That kept the conversation going, and we tried to get to know each other a little bit more. And in college, I was in several groups, should I say, student associations such as the Caribbean Association, the African Association. I was also in a basketball team, but that has a backstory that's a little funny. I wanted to join that basketball team because I thought the coach was cute. The assistant coach was cute. And the coach was just a woman that seemed very strict. And when I joined the team for that reason, I later found out that the assistant coach and the coach were married. So now I was stuck in a basketball team. I had zero basketball skills. And the story got worse because half of the team fell off due to their GPA. They had terrible GPA, and I had a good GPA at the time. So guess what? I got recruited. I stayed. And that was funny. So my interaction with Andrew was that when we started chatting more and studying more together, he also was attending my basketball practice. Of course, saw how terrible our team had become after half the team fell off. And he decided to participate in the practice to help the girls' team get better. And I thought that was a very, very good trait. It was very, very nice of him to do that. So, in addition to studying together, we had these basketball practices together. And he would also do two things that I absolutely loved. First, he would accompany me to my home games, oh, my, sorry, my away games. And for my home games, he's originally from the Caribbean, so he would bring the entire Caribbean Student Association to my games. And as terrible as I was, I'm gonna be really hard on myself. I had almost the whole audience, cheering for me, and it was fun. It was hilarious and just beautiful to see. And that support was a lot. One good thing was that we spent also a lot of times a lot of time together in the Caribbean Student Association. It was a fun group. I was a tutor, a math tutor there, so I would interact with other group members, and we would do a lot of sketches. And so he would be also involved with that, and we had a lot of time together. But I guess the time when I really fell, I would say, in love for him, I had more love feelings towards him, I would say, it was when we went to perform that sketch in front of an audience, and we had an after party afterwards. We danced the night away. So after that, the semester ended, and he traveled back to his birth country in the Caribbean, and we didn't see for like an entire month. And when he came back the following semester, there was a spring break trip that was organized, and we went to Miami. And that's when I would say that our relationship got a lot stronger, and we really had those nice conversations where we would talk about the future together. And I guess we really got together, I would say, rather a bit quick, but it made sense at that time because we shared a lot of passions, a lot of similar activities and passion together. And he was great with conversations. We could go into a lot of details about what we would see our future to be. It didn't just limit itself to school. It was, how do you see yourself in 5 years, 10 years? Do you see yourself having kids? All those conversations came about. And we had very detailed, very intense chats. And I could say that we had a lot of similar views of life, together. Now, the part where I would say we were not so much on the same page was kids. I was in school, I was just in a community college at the time, so I had plans on continuing school, going to a 4-year college. And he was a bit more anxious about having children, and the excuse was always that he didn't think he would live long. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's pretty pessimistic. I mean, you don't decide how you're gonna live. when your life is gonna end. So I thought that was rather weird, but he was anxious about having kids. And in my head, because I always pictured everything as a fairy tale story, I thought, okay, so that means we're gonna probably get married very soon and things like that. So I was really on another page on that level than he was. When we took our relationship, I would say, to a more serious level, I introduced him to my mom. My mom absolutely loved him. And my friends, I did a lot of chat with my friends about him. So it was more on the phone. I would describe how it looked, how our conversation was, and they loved him already. So they were more anxious to meet him than I actually was to introduce him. But they were really anxious to meet him. And I looked forward to that in the future, but it happened rather quickly. My friends came over and spent some time with me. When I say came over, that's because they lived abroad. They lived in another state. And we would meet up every year. But at that point, we met up a little bit earlier than that year span, right? So they came and they stayed over by his place. And I would say that this was the first time after I would probably think about a year and a half of being together that I saw a different side of him. I didn't think that he was a person that would argue a lot at all, but all of the sudden, I would say his behavior changed when my friends were around. He was a bit more on the macho side and didn't care as much about me. That's what it looked like with that very first interaction of my friends coming in. And I thought that was weird. So we had this time when we went to a theme park, and it was my friends and my brother. And we decided, and him, and we decided to really have fun together. But once we got to the theme park, my best friend's husband and him decided to go off their way. And we, the girls, stayed stuck with my brother. So there we are in a big theme park. Instead of enjoying ourselves, we're looking for the other two guys. And it just, the dynamic changed. The fun that I was anticipating was completely different. And by the end of the day, I thought that I had less fun. And I guess because we were almost joined by the hips all the time, I had less fun not being around him. Being around my friend was awesome, but it just felt different that he wasn't there because they came to meet him and he got more familiarized with the guy and really could care less about us, the girls. So on the way back home, I was upset. I was just really not happy at all. And when we got home, I would say that at some point, he went into the room and I followed him there while my friends were in the living room, and I told him, I really didn't enjoy the time. I wish you would have been a little more around, like a little more close to the whole group than just having to split and just have fun your way or, in your direction. And oh gosh, he could care less about what I was saying. And I mean, I just started to be a little more heated, and I saw a side of him that I really didn't appreciate. And I started arguing. I really started to come out of my whole, chill behavior or person. I just wasn't comfortable, and I felt like it was the time to tell him, I just didn't appreciate what you did. And they are here for you, but it's like you're picking and choosing, and you have a behavior that I really don't like. And his response was, you just taking things out of proportion, just, stop. I don't want to talk about it. And he passed me. And at that point, I just blew up. I was like, oh my gosh. So we had that big blowout. It was mostly confrontational where we were in each other's faces. And my friend's husband had to interfere. She had to, he had to come in the middle of us and just be like, okay, you both chill. Don't take it that way. We need to talk. And I took it way farther than it needed to be. I said, you know what? I'm out. I don't like this. I'm packing my little few things that I had in the house and I'm leaving. So, yeah, that was a stretch. But at the same time, I think it was my way to call out for attention. And I just decided to leave. And my best friend's husband said, no, hold on, I'll talk to him. Before you leave, I want you guys to have one last conversation. We don't want the night to go like that. And that was their first night, of being there, my friends. So it was very weird. So they had a conversation for almost 2 hours, and I was chatting with my friend. I was still heated. I had my little bag, and I was ready to leave. And my friend's husband called me back and said, all right, before you leave, I want you both to talk and see if you can at least have that last conversation before you walk out of here. I did come back, and I realized that Andrew was sweating, and it looked like he had a long argument. Of course, it was 2 hours. And he started talking, and he said, you know, I don't want you to take things that way. I'm so sorry if you misunderstood me or the situation. I don't want you to leave. I don't ever want you to leave. I don't ever want you to feel bad, or I don't want to embarrass you in front of friends. And if I wanted you to leave, I wouldn't have this ring with me right now to propose to you. So please forgive me. I probably was a bit immature of how I wanted to do this, but I just don't want you to go. So of course, I felt very weird, but my first feeling was surprised. I was just confused. And I said to him, so you actually trying to propose to me right now in the middle of this argument we just had that I thought was probably the worst argument so far. And all right, let me stop talking. It's a yes from me, but we need to work on it. So that's how I went about it. And we hugged, we kissed, and we went back to my friends, kind of like, oh, look what happened. And they were my best friend was happy and joyful and just screaming, and her husband at the time was just like, he knew what happened. That's why he called me back and wanted me to have that conversation. So we just brushed that argument under the rug. We just started to now announce to friends and family that we were engaged. And it was nice. I don't think we had that big of an argument the few months after that. We really clicked, and I would say a few years, maybe a couple years down the line, we lived together. We really did a lot of trips together. We traveled. What we made sure that we wanted to go visit a country or a different state at least twice a year. So we had several trips. I absolutely love to travel, and we share that same passion. And we were both foodies, so we would just go out, eat different food, experience different cultures. It was just that, I would say, the honeymoon before the wedding or something like that, but it was fun. And we traveled a lot. I did want to put in the story the time when I met his mother. We were already engaged, and we took a trip to Miami because it was closer to her home country. And once we were there, before we got there, he told me, my mom is very difficult. She's very hard to please. So don't be surprised if she comes off as somebody that's a bit cold. And I also want to add that he was the only child. So that explained, maybe the fact that she wouldn't be too thrilled to see someone like another girl wanting her only son. But I didn't make a big fuss about it. So when I met her, We chatted. I think she really liked the fact that I enjoyed school. She wanted somebody that was studious and had a career in sight for her son. So we had a good conversation and we left it at that. I mean, she gave some feedback to her son that she really liked me. So that was good. And we went about our business about hoping to plan a wedding. But that took longer than I expected from the time we got engaged. It felt to me that as soon as we got engaged, things went in a different direction again. He called me one day and said that he really, really likes Florida, and he thinks that he can probably pursue a little bit of his dreams down there. At that point, I had already transferred in a 4-year university, and spending time studying didn't happen so much, but we spent time doing other things. But I was very focused on my studies, so it was kind of difficult for me to picture myself living in another state when I had something going for myself in the state where I lived. But he had not really transferred from that community college and wanted to completely change direction. So he decided that he wanted to pursue a different field, still related to science, but more on the hands-on part. So he explained to me that he really, really loved cars and wanted to get involved with cars and the whole building and souping up process of cars performance. I also love cars. I mean, I enjoy cars. But yeah, I just didn't picture him after we got engaged in another state. Then his mother called me and she said to me that if I refuse that he goes to chase his dreams, it would be a bit selfish on my part because I'm following my dreams and he hasn't figured out what he wants to do, so he's exploring. So I should kind of give him a little bit of time to figure it out. And I thought that was very strange for her to discuss that with me like that. It's almost like she wants me to make up my mind at that point and agree that he needs to go. But again, I have this big rock on my finger and I'm hoping to plan a wedding, not a long-term relationship until we get to the wedding plans. So, I guess at that point, I was just like, I don't think I can win here. I'll just say yes and see how it goes. But there's that feeling also of letting things go and see if we can come back stronger. I really wanted to figure it out at that point. Maybe it wasn't the best decision, or maybe is it? Let's see. So I just let him go. I let him pursue his dreams of exploring, cars down south. And he went. So at that point, we would call each other a lot. We would spend a lot of times on the phone, and I would travel. I think I traveled a lot down there to visit him, and he would come. We tried to make sure that we saw each other at least once a month, but we talked to each other every day. And I remember my family members calling me and saying, "Oh my God, we thought we were going to celebrate a wedding, but be careful. Now you let him go. Who knows? You never know. He could find somebody else." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, stop stressing me." But, several months passed and it turned into a year. And we had those long distance conversations. And I thought maybe by a year he would figure out what he wants to do and come back. That turned into him trying to pursue some kind of course related curriculum that would help him strengthen his dreams. And that happened in another state in Pennsylvania, so he had to travel there. Now that was a bit closer to where we lived, and I liked that because I didn't have to take the plane. I could just drive. It was a few hours, but it was worth the drive. I was looking forward to seeing him. And I would say at that point, it's probably a year and a half that he's in another state, And it dragged on. Now he has this other school that he wanted to explore because it was a different, very top of the line program that he wanted to join. And he got selected out of that school in Pennsylvania to attend that program. And that one was in Atlanta, Georgia. So another trip, another set of long distance, relationship that would go on. But I would say at that point, I think that our dynamic, had a little bit changed. We were tight, but the conversations were only on the phone. And if it's late, okay, it's late, I have school tomorrow. The conversation got cut off very quickly. It was, oh, I have to go, I have to go. And it was like, okay, all right, it's fine. But I was looking forward to him being back. And I think it took about 2.5 years for him to come back to Maryland. So at that point, we planned the wedding. And when we planned the wedding, actually, he was still in Atlanta, but we knew at that point that we had to get married. And he wanted to get married in his mom's home country. So it was in the Caribbean. And I personally wanted a wedding, a small wedding. He wanted a big wedding. He wanted family. We had a little disagreement there, but I didn't make a big fuss. It was still me going on another trip and exploring a different culture, just being, having fun. And that's what I was looking forward to. So we did the wedding in his home country in the Caribbean. And I would say that when we got married, things went very fast. We planned the planning, I was mostly involved than he was, but he told me that he needed to travel back to his home country to be on the spot, in the country to see how things would go. So he would help his mother. And at that point, his mother had in mind that our wedding had to emulate her wedding with her husband at the time. Everything felt like I was being pulled in all the directions, and my voice was not heard. It was them, and I would just attend, or I would just assist to my own wedding, right? Just come in. So yeah, a lot of conversations. Then eventually, I would say 5 days before the wedding, I came up to the country and we started to discuss different plans. And his mother was telling me, I want these type of flowers. I said, no, I don't, because I don't like those flowers. And she said, well, that's what I had at my wedding. We should do it. We should create this. And so she was the bridezilla, but the bridezilla, but she wasn't the bride. She was the mother of the bride. So it was very weird. And Andrew was nowhere in sight. He was partying to the limit, saying to whomever wanted to hear that it was his last time just having fun as a bachelor. So he was just nowhere in sight. And he would just hand me off to his cousins and his friends and his mom and the wedding planners. So I felt very left out. I felt very not really supported, no attention. And it just felt very weird at the time. So we did the wedding. I would say the wedding was fun to guests. For me, I just felt a disconnect with him at that point. And it could be from the planning, I don't know, but I just didn't feel like it was what I envisioned. Or maybe I had high expectations, but it wasn't what I envisioned. And our honeymoon, on the other hand, and when the wedding was done, was fun. It was a beautiful place where we got married. So I loved the beach. It was by the beach. It was gorgeous. And I really enjoyed that. And my best friend was there. We had a good time. My mom was able to make it. Some of my friends. So we did some little guided tours and it was fun. And then eventually we had a few days, I would say 3 days to ourselves. But the very last day before we came back to the state, that day was odd. He told me, do you allow me to see my friends one last time since we're going back to the state? I really want to spend time with them. And I told him, "What do you mean? We on our honeymoon. If anything, you want to see your friends, I'm coming." He said, "No, it's just the boys. Just relax. It's fine. I'll be back before the night is over." And I was just like, "Wow, this is so off." I would say out of the whole honeymoon, that day was strange. And he still went. It didn't matter what I said. I said, "I seriously don't want you to go." He said, "Oh, please, don't do this." Try to convince me, and he still went. I could barely sleep. By the time he came back, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was not happy at all. But I said, "You know what? This is our last night. I'm done with this. I'm ready to go home." So we went back home, and I'm gonna fast forward a little bit. 2 weeks after the wedding, we had a joint iPad. And he had a message that came up on the iPad, and it was from a complete stranger. So I looked and I said, "Who is that person? That person, it's a girl." All right. I opened it. I opened the message, and I see a girl literally saying that she had the time of her life and she really misses him already. And she just doesn't know if she can do without him. It just a whole bunch of literally begging of him, of being able to see him again. And it was very confusing, but clear to me that in addition to the, in quotation, planning of the wedding and the chilling with friends, this little situation happened here. So I instantly confronted him about it. And the first answer from him was, "It's a friend from high school that I saw, and we just spent time together, and it was nothing." And I said, "Well, when did you see that friend? I was down there and I did not see that friend before you came." And I said, "Wow, okay, this person is referring you being gone for 2 weeks. We've been gone for 2 weeks. That means she might have seen you the day before you left." And he said, "No, I think it's just a way for her to say it." I mean, justifications, I'm not going to go into too much details about that, but that was very strange. When I saw the message, I never had the courage to discuss it with anyone besides him. I would say we felt like we could confide into each other and we could be very open to one another. So, and I've always called him Mr. Details. We could really talk in depth about things, so I didn't feel the need to go outside of our couple and discuss things that related to our marriage to anyone. I just felt very comfortable discussing with him, and anything he said at the time, I would just believe it for a while. But for some reason, for that particular text, I just that message, I just didn't think it was the entire truth. At that point, we were still living separately because I remember him being still in Pennsylvania when we got back from the wedding. And finally, when he graduated from the program he was in, he came back. But this, I think I would say the night he graduated was probably the night we conceived our first child. And we came back at that point together. I went to his graduation, we came back, and I didn't make a big fuss about the situation with the girl, but it kept coming back into discussions. It kept a little bit haunting me because I just never met that person, and I knew all his friends. He was very open to introducing me to everyone, but that particular person was just kind of hidden. And I don't know, it just didn't feel right. So time went by. I had my first kid. And when I gave birth to my kid, he was there, but again, I had that strange feeling in the delivery room that there was a disconnect. Same feeling I had at my wedding. I had the exact same feeling. I could see him being into his son, but I've just felt something. It was just a natural feeling that I had at this point. I couldn't really put my finger on it. So when our son was 4 months old, I saw another message popping up on our joint iPad, and I clicked on it. At that point, I saw the same name as the girl from the 2 weeks post-wedding pop up, but this time there was no associated message, just pictures. Pictures of a baby that, for some odd reasons, looked awfully like him. At that point, I think I almost passed out. I started feeling really dizzy. I just started to be hot. I was confused. And I said, there's absolutely no way this person I see, this baby I see on this picture, is not his. So I just collected myself and I started to think about ways to address him about this situation. How do I come off? Which angle do I come up on, like, to ask him those questions? Who is that? And what's going on? But I had no other choice. I just came up to him and I said, I need to talk to you. But before I talked to him, I also started to convince myself of things. And I said, you know what? Now, if it's his child, what do I do? Well, do I accept it? I guess I have to accept it, right? Because my father also had multiple kids. And my biggest wish all my life was that my brothers and I were very close. So what should I do? I started to literally look ahead in the future and give myself a justification to stick around and accept this situation. If at the end, after I present the situation to, I just convinced myself that it would make sense for me to say, you know what, if it's your son, just let me know so we can work this thing out because we already married and I have a baby. And so that was my way of coming to him and asking him. I said, well, Andrew, I have to talk to you. I saw something on the iPad that is troubling me. There was one of the pictures that showed a little bit too much of the person who is caring for the child. And I would just call that as a side breast with a bra. So the person is holding a baby, but the person is not showing her face. So I said to him, Andrew, who is that on this picture? Who is that child? And he was quick to answer. He said, that's our friend Marvin's baby. I said, whose friend? The only Marvin I know lives here. This baby looks like they don't live here. The baby looks like she's living in another country. And he said, yeah, my friend Marvin that lives in the Caribbean. I said, oh my gosh, I feel stupid right now. Like, who is Marvin? But anyway, I said, you know what? Let me start over. Who is that friend? And he kept sticking to his story. That's Marvin's baby. There was one final image where you could see the body of a person holding the child with a hat that was a hat of his home country. And at that point, I recognized that hat because we had it in the house. But then he said to me, well, that's Marvin. And that's Marvin holding the baby, and that's Marvin wearing the hat. I couldn't make up the face, but I would recognize those hands. I would recognize the posture of the person. The person was sideways, but the face got cut, and only the hands and the hat were showing in front of the baby. I mean, the hat in front of the baby. Oh gosh, it was really hard for me to not accept, to not believe that that was his child, but he kept trying to convince me. So I said, you know what? He's never lied to me. I think I'm gonna believe that it's Marvin's child. All right. And he said that so confidently. I had doubts, but what is it? I'm in a marriage. We having a baby. Am I gonna start putting trust on the line? And again, I never went to anyone trying to explain the story to anybody. I didn't wanna talk about it. I just wanted to keep it to myself. I think on the side, I was a bit embarrassed if the situation would become what my gut feeling was telling me that it was. I just didn't know how to address it, so I kept it to myself. And at some point, the child turned one, and that's when I figured the whole story out. There was another text that came where the mother was asking specifically for support for his child. And I encountered that text because I have to definitely give details as to how my behavior changed after the last message that popped up on the iPad. I became very investigative. I wanted to find out things and I started looking. And you know, there's a saying that goes that whoever looks fine, right? So I started finding information. And I saw that text in his phone. So I was accessing his phone without him knowing. And I started seeing conversations that happened. And at that point, it was clear to me that it was his child. And he kept that under wraps. But what shocked me was how old the child was. Nothing made sense. The child was one. We had gotten married. And so, if I went back to the conception date, it didn't match the time that he was there for the wedding. It was after the wedding. And nothing made sense. So, at that point, I talked to my mother. I said to my mom, I'm having a problem. I think Andrew had a child with somebody else. I don't know how to confront him about it, but I'm done. Our baby is very young. The child is a year old, and my child is like 4 or 5 months. That doesn't make any sense. And he's not telling me that. So I started being very upset, and I decided to just go find him. He was by his uncle that night. I decided to just drive and find him and talk to him and just tell him that we're done, because I know the truth now. And when I came up to him, I saw him. I said, I know you have a child. You've been lying to me. The child is 1 year old and nothing makes sense. But you know what? You don't even have to explain yourself. I'm done. I walked out. I took my car. I drove to a hotel without anybody knowing where I was going. I just drove and I just went there and I turned off my phone. I took our 4 months-old child with me. And I booked a hotel room and I stayed there with our baby. And I just didn't know what to do. I couldn't figure it out, but I just needed to stay away from the house.
Hi there. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you'd like to see more of us, you can check us out on whatislove_podcast on Instagram. If you're interested in giving us some more formal feedback, or if you'd like to tell us your story, you can also send us an email on whatislovepod@gmail.com. You can also leave us a 5-star rating if you love it. And until next time, see you soon.